You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Friend of the program, Nick Olson, fellow Common Fan, once again joining us. Nick, happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. The pleasure is just incredible.
It's on this side of the table.
Yep, all on this side of the table, Bob.
You don't know how often each of us has heard that, Nick. Very often. Okay, moving on. Make sure to go to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. You can access our YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. You can subscribe for free to the newsletter. Obviously, you want to do that. You can access our social media channels and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fan. So make sure you do that. That's commonfan.co. commonfan.co. And we are marching toward 1,000 YouTube subscribers, guys. So definitely please subscribe on YouTube. We would greatly appreciate it if you did that. Make sure to also go to cpbeef.com. That's Certified Piedmontese Premium Nebraska Beef, raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state by Nebraska farmers and ranchers. Absolutely the best steaks, best burgers, best ribs, best roasts, all the beef, Common Fan.
All the beef.
And you can get 25% off using the promo code Common Fan, all one word, Common Fan. Why wouldn't you want 25% off? Of course you want 25% off.
Discounted meat. Yeah. I've said it before. Everybody loves some discounted meat.
Everybody loves
discounted meat. That just doesn't sound
it's
right.
It's discounted meat. Yeah, it's but who doesn't want the discounted meat?
It's premium Nebraska. Right? Premium Nebraska beef at a special price reduction because you're a Common Fan listener. That's what it is.
Sounds better than discounted meat.
Jeff, you can have your discounted meat, Jeff.
25% off. Fire sale.
Get your Common Fan socks. Go to sillysco.com, SILIESCO.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR number 4 LIFE to get 25% off any sock on the site. It's not just the Common Fan socks. They got lots of colorful socks. And so get all the socks your heart desires using the promo code GBR for life at sillysco.com. Gentlemen, it's great to be back with you. Yes. It's great to be talking Husker football. It's February. I'm just envisioning the guys in the weight room, and they've got like, I'm making this up. Maybe it's the final score of the Iowa game. Maybe it's, you know, a picture of the Iowa players celebrating.
Oh yeah.
A picture of the Illinois players celebrating at Memorial Stadium on the day of the 400th consecutive song, whatever it is that's motivating them. I'm picturing them working out and thinking about how they're going to go to the college football playoff this year. That's what I'm thinking about. And that's what February is for. February's for getting discounted meat from Certified Piedmontese, making yourself a steak, and dreaming big dreams. That's what we do this time of year. Jeff, were you going to say something?
Yeah, they need it. They need that motivation because, Olson, you sent that video. I don't know if you watched it too, TJ, about that news reporter just breaking down the month of February. Oh, it is the most dark, bleak, like accurate video I've ever seen in my life. It's the month of February is just very, very depressing. So the athletes need it. They need some motivation here. And hopefully our podcast can give some of the fans some motivation to get through this bleak month of February. Yeah, we're almost there, Common Fans. We're almost there.
That's what we're here for. Yeah. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. That's right. Then March means spring ball. It means March Madness. Soon it'll be baseball season. And the next thing you know, the football season will be right around the corner. We're getting there. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. What we want to talk about today is the patented Matt Rhule year 3 leap. Let's go back in time a little bit. He took over at Temple in 2013, and his first Temple team went 2-10. His second Temple team went 6-6. In year 3 at Temple in 2015, they went 10-4. Big leap in year 3. And then just for giggles, they also went 10-3 in 2016. Okay. So big turnaround at Temple that
was
sustainable there, right? And then he went to Baylor after that. And Baylor was in a huge mess, which we don't need to get into the reasons behind that. But Baylor, after a major scandal, just total catastrophe. And his first year at Baylor, he went 1-11. Second year at Baylor, went 7-6. Third year at Baylor in 2019, took the big leap and went 11-3. How thrilled would Husker fans be with an 11 win season?
Oh.
I mean, how long? We would never stop dancing in the streets in Lincoln if the Huskers got 11 wins this year. It certainly would carry us through February of next year.
We'd be ripping down light poles like Eagles fans, just ripping them straight out of the ground.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. So then Rhule had an adventure in the NFL, comes to Nebraska in 2023, went 5-7 in 2023 and 7-6 in 2024. And so here's what we're not going to talk about if they're going to take a year three leap right now in 2025. I think all I'll say on that note is I think Husker fans need to prepare, it's a different situation in Nebraska and the Big Ten is as good and deep as it's ever been, even compared to 5 years ago, six, seven years ago at Baylor, certainly compared to a decade ago at Temple. College football as a whole is an entirely different beast right now. Everybody's got money from conference TV deals. Everybody's investing in coaching. Everybody's investing in facilities. Indiana made the playoff this year, for God's sakes. Okay. So
they had no reason, even it was insulting that for TJ to even think that they would field a team. And they made
exactly.
That's dogs and cats living together.
And in fact, an Indiana fan after that game, side note, guys, an Indiana fan that must have had it ready posted a clip of me saying that I was from, I think it was our preview episode or something, posted a clip of me saying months earlier that I was offended that Indiana was even trying to field the team after they beat us 56-7. He posted that on Twitter. I actually kind of wore that as a badge of honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You found
the show.
You come to the common fans if you want listening. The word on. Yeah. You want the pulse of Nebraska football. Yeah. Thanks for listening. So we had some fun interacting with that person on Twitter after the loss. But point being, I think that this happens a lot in life. It happens in politics. It happens in business. It happens in sports. Just because somebody did something before doesn't mean it's going to be the same, right?
Yeah.
We there's a lot of factors at play. And also, new recent reports out about college football playoff changing, and the league, SEC and Big Ten, each trying to get themselves 4 automatic bids. Maybe you only have to go 9-3. Maybe you don't have to hope for an 11-1 season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different episode, different conversation. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to assume the leap. We're going to presume the leap, whatever that means. 10-2, 9-3, 11-1. I don't know what that means. We're going to presume a big leap. Many more wins than 2023 and 2024. And each of us has come prepared with, if that happens, what are 3 reasons why that happens? Okay. Mm-hmm. 3 reasons why Nebraska football will take the big leap in 2025 under Matt Rhule. Okay. I think this is going to be a really fun one. Now, we've all created our lists, but we've not shared them with each other.
Yeah.
So there could be some overlap. There could be,
nobody
some...
steal my, no, don't, I don't want any of you guys stealing my stuff. Okay. I'm talking to you, Owens. If you go before, I don't want you stealing any of my ideas. I got good ideas.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
you have
good ideas. Yes. You have good ideas, Jeff. Congratulations.
Yes.
it's like when George in Seinfeld wants to be a broadcaster and Jerry's like, yeah, you make good comments. I make good comments.
Usually they reserve that job for ex players
and people in broadcasting. All right. We're going to go in the same order every time. So on my screen, we're going to go counterclockwise, starting with Maddie. Oh, what is your number one reason Nebraska football is going to take a major leap in 2025?
Belief.
Actually, well, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Should we go 3-2-1? No, it doesn't matter. These are in random order.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, we're not ranking them. We're just 3 reasons. Okay. Go ahead, Mario.
I wrote here belief. I think there's more belief in that locker room down there on One Memorial Stadium Drive. You know, there's enough returning guys back. There's evidence. There's real evidence that these guys can play with anybody in the country. We had the lead against the eventual national champs in the Ohio State Buckeyes. We were playing with them toe to toe. And I think that there is something to that. And I say this all the time. I'm so sick of the word culture, but it's a real thing. The culture has changed. I think that's real. That's established. The culture has changed. And I think we've got a little more identity in the culture, and there's belief in that locker room that they can win, and they just got to close the deal. So I got my one reason, my first reason is belief.
Love that. Dang.
Beautiful.
Absolutely love that. Nick
Inspiration.
Olson, what do you got?
My first one's going to be special teams slash the hiring of Mike Eckler.
You
Like,
son of a bitch.
I think special teams, you know, it
How
probably
dare you?
like counts for anywhere from 3 to 10 points a game. I mean, you want to talk about coffin kicking on, you know, on punts or tackling punt. We didn't average anything for punt return yards. And then that's not even blocking field goals or blocking a punt. It can change momentum, but it's just hidden yards, hidden points. And it was just a mess last year. I mean, the Illinois game, if we make that field goal, we go up and then we beat Illinois probably. And that's not even counting the other games. But I just think special teams are so important. I mean, I know this is called the common fan, but a lot of people, common people off the street, they just disregard special teams. Like, it's like,
It's not Hollywood. It's not Hollywood.
it's like the quarterback and the defense, and that's about it. But special teams are so important. I mean, Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech built his whole program around special teams. So I just think special teams are so important, and there's just hidden parts of the game that we can win two or three more games just with special teams if we fix it. And we will fix it.
Love it. Love it. That's one of mine, but there's plenty to talk about there. And you're absolutely right. Geoff?
That was one of mine too. So I'll piggyback off of that briefly. The thing that's been plaguing the Husker football team for damn near a decade now has been one score close games. Special teams plays a huge, huge part in that. If we're going to take the big leap in 2025, we've got to win close games, and making field goals, fielding punts, and having good special teams defensive plays is the key to winning those one score games. So huge addition with Eckler. That's definitely going to give us a one up and give us that leap that we're looking for. That will come.
Yep, absolutely. Well, the only thing I'll add to that, that was my first one as well. Mike Eckler, David City, Nebraska native, for those who have forgotten, home of the many Burkles, is like for whatever reason, with Frost, with Rule, it has just felt like it wasn't prioritized. I assume they practiced it. Like, I don't want to discount the hard work that people put in, but even going back to Riley and Bruce Reed, everybody remembers Bruce Reed. The special teams coordinator. But it just, you saw the product on the field and it was like, this isn't even average. How many times have we said on the show, just give me average special teams and we're probably winning half the games that we're losing? Examples that come to mind. Olson, you said Illinois this year, Iowa this year. We make that field goal to go up 13 nothing. We make that field goal at the beginning of the second half against Iowa. I don't think we lose that game. And then of course, the muffed punt. That also led to 3 points for Iowa. I mean,
Oh my
that's the
gosh.
game right there. That's the game right there, right? Another Iowa game in 2021, we were up 21-6 going into the fourth quarter. We allowed a block punt that I can't remember. I think they took it into the end zone, if I recall correctly. We were backed way up, and I think they scored on the block punt. But if not, they scored shortly after that. 2021. 2021, Michigan State. The black shirts came to play. They bottled up Kenneth Walker III, and we give up that punt return touchdown and end up losing in overtime. There's so many examples. And finally, I think, you know, again, not to suggest they weren't taking it seriously before, but I think the arrival of Mike Eckler is, for me, huge. And a statement that, you know, we talked about this before. It's a reminder you got to take Rule's actions more than his words. He gave that interview where he was like, well, we practice special teams a lot. I'm not sure we could spend a lot more time on it. Just have to execute better. And everybody's kind of like, what? And then a couple of days later, Mike Eckler was hired. And so Like that's to me is the statement of we're going to get this right. So that's one for me as well.
And
Matty, go. Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
the thing I love too is he's a high energy guy. I
I
mean,
was going to
energy like
say
that
that
is
because,
infectious around the program. I mean, I don't know if he's hooked up to jumper cables or what, but the guy is just a beast. So I think that will help the offense and defense, just having him around the program.
Well, that's
I
what
noticed the
my
program.
I
Go ahead,
looked
Jeff.
at. No, I just saw a bunch of pictures of him, and I'm like, "Good Lord, I don't know how a special teams coordinator could be this hyped." But apparently, he's going to be able to siphon off some Red Bulls or energy drinks from Dana Holgerson, and they're going to be rocking on that sideline. It's going to be awesome.
My one, the memory that's seared into my brain of Mike Eckler from when he was on Pelini's staff is the guy just bouncing up and down on the sidelines. You know, I mean, it was like he's like just jumping up and down like a maniac. And so like he's just like Owens, I think you said it when we talked about him a couple episodes ago. He's just a football guy, just
Yeah, he
absolutely
just
lives and
loves
breathes
it.
and loves football. And you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right, Olson. Like having a guy like that around the program can only help.
Seems like a type of guy that would often refer to playing football or being part of a football team as the brotherhood. One of those guys.
All right, Matteo, number two reason why Nebraska football will take a big leap in
Number
2024.
two, I have this is two names, but this is one reason. Holgorsen and Shorts. I think with Dana running the offense and Dykel Shorts as receivers coach, I think we're going to see some more explosiveness out of our offense this fall with the guys we brought in and Mr. Shorts, who has had some really good, I think he's been called an up and coming kind of assistant in the coaching world. I think Tank, wasn't it Tank Dell? I think he coached at Houston and had like a massive season. And so I think both Dana and Shorts, I think we're going to see a lot more explosiveness out of the offense, and that's going to create more wins and another reason for the leap for the Matt Rhule year three leap.
Shorts.
I thought you were saying, first, I thought you were saying Dana Holgerson wearing
He was going to
shorts.
wear
Yeah,
shorts,
in
and that's
shorts.
going to
That
lead to
could
our
be
success.
too. We could also do
I've
that.
Holgerson strikes me as a cargo shorts guy. Maybe the tearaway ones with the zipper.
Like a practicality. I don't know. He's got some swagger though. I don't know if he'd be for the cargo
Cargo
shorts.
shorts are making a comeback. They're swag. They're making a comeback.
We completely made up this caricature of him sitting at diners all over Lincoln, drinking Red Bull and drawing up plays on the back of napkins. So it kind of fit with
Yes.
that. With
It
that,
would. It really
wearing
would.
cargo shorts. Wearing
Over a
cargo shorts.
highway diner and just drawn up plays, drawn up mesh
Exactly.
concepts.
All right, Olsen, number two reason for you.
Mine is similar to Owens's. It's that Holgorsen having a full year, and an off season. I mean, it's like night and day difference that he's gonna have all this off season and a full year. I've never told you guys this, I don't think, but I do not like coaches being in the booth. I know they always make a point to show the guy in the booth. And it's like he's sitting like in an office. A lot of times they have reading glasses on and they're just kind of sitting there casually. Like I loved last year when Holgorsen took over, we would make a big play and they would show him and he's already looking at his little napkin play sheet and he's just screaming the next play. And that's kind of the Mike Eckler deal. Like energy is infectious. Like
Yeah, be down there with the troops.
you be down there with the troops, get in a rhythm, you know. We so much struggled with getting in a rhythm, and I just feel like coaches, when you're down on the field, you can have a feel for the tempo of the game and everything.
I agree with that, Nick. A good visualization of like the coordinator being in the booth. Like, do you remember when I don't know, is Tommy Reese still the OC for Alabama or did he move on? I
I think he's in the
just
NFL now.
he is. I just distinctly remember that like viral moment of him up in the booth. I can't remember who they were losing to, but he just had the head buried and just rubbing his hair while he had the phone on, like had the phone in his hand. Like he looked like he was just getting his ass reamed by somebody down on the side, probably Saban. But no, I agree with you. That's hilarious. Like you see those guys up in the booth and it's like an office desk job and
And
it's refreshing to see
I
him
thought you were
down
going to say,
below.
Jeff, the one where he's on the phone, he's yelling, "Do your bleeping job." You remember that one where he slams the, yes,
I
and
remember
slams
that.
that down.
I remember that. Okay, and also I'm trademarking or copywriting this right now. Dana Holgorsen and Dylan Raiola will run a Midwest Coast offense next year. It's a Midwest Coast offense.
What is involved in the Midwest Coast offense?
Did we just invent this?
It's very similar to the Bill Walsh West Coast offense and a run and gun, like the Hal Mum, Dana Holgerson tree. But I just love the term Midwest Coast offense.
Sounds cool.
Oh my God, that's going on a common fan T-shirt, Olson.
Love it.
Okay,
if you're okay with that.
So yeah, yep. Just okay. Go ahead and trademark it right now. Midwest Coast offense.
Love that.
Midwest Coast. Big third down here and run the damn ball. We've got them all. Yeah. Love it. Yeah.
Geoff, number two for you, but go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Are you guys, speaking of coaches in the booth, are you guys a fan of when we got into like the five assistant coaches wearing the green, the blue, the yellow, and the orange hat? Or do you guys find that annoying at all? When they would signal in stuff and
looks weird, but I understand it. Like look over the sideline, you got to be able to pick the guy that you're looking for, you know, with the colors. Yeah. And so
I just
it is visually kind of like, what the heck? Because you got, you know, you seem that like there's a couple of colors usually on the sideline. You know, there's red and white.
Yep.
Or maybe some black. But
and then they have to hold up the sheets, too. You have the guys holding up the sheets. I mean, yeah. It just feels like it's kind of gotten out of control with all the play signaling.
Rain it in.
Not as many coaches now or teams had the huge card with like the four. Remember how that was a trend for a little bit?
There'd be
four pictures on it.
Yeah. And
hold it up. Like we used to do that on defense a lot, I think.
Didn't Chip Kelly start that or did I make that up? Didn't he start that at Oregon?
It would have made sense if we were doing it with Frost. Then we did it with Frost.
Don't bring Oregon into this, all right, Mr. Ben.
Don't you dare talk to me, Jeff, about anything related to a second team. I was just referencing Oregon. I have one team, and they reside in Lincoln, Nebraska, my friend. I'm not sure you can say as much. Okay. All right. You're up, Jeffrey. Number two.
Thank you. I'll kind of roll with what Olson was talking about, but Holgerson's great. Like that's I will do that. Great addition. But obviously let's state the obvious. We need Dylan to just be better this year. He was fine last year, but we need him to step it up. And I think a good way of doing that is by bringing in, speaking of teams, TJ, bringing in Rocco from the Irish.
Rocco.
Now you've got somebody on that offensive line that's played under the brightest and shiniest of lights in college football just within the last few weeks. I think he's going to be a great leader, an inspiration for the rest of the O-line. And what does that do? Gets them hyped up and jacked up to protect our quarterback, be able to have some of those explosive plays that Olson was talking about. So we need Dylan to be good, and the way that he's going to do that is having time to make good decisions, check downs, long passes, what have you. So all in all, Dylan just has to be better, and I feel like we're going to do that with Rocco on our line now. So
I'm a little confused. Is your reason Holgerson, Dylan, or Rocco?
It's all of them, TJ. It's all of them. The offense. It's everything.
We'll call it Rocco. Rocco,
yeah.
Alive.
Rocco.
Yeah. I'll stop doing that Godfather 2 reference. Okay, my number two is Emmett Johnson. I think it's going to be huge for him to know that he's the lead. I mean, I'm making an assumption here. No coach has actually said this, but assuming he's the lead back, I think it's going to be huge for all of the prep work in spring ball, summer workouts, fall camp. Everything's going to revolve around Emmett, at least as far as the running back position goes. Not that I don't want to see other guys emerge. We're going to have to develop some depth behind him. But I think Emmett is going to like thrive under Dana Holgerson. We already saw that late last season. And I think he is going to emerge as our best back, at least since Amir Abdullah. That's what I think.
Love that.
Ooh.
Love that. That's aggressive, but I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Like that.
I could see it happening. I could see that happening too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Matty O, number three.
Number three, I have the schedule, gentlemen. The schedule. You know, I'm a big schedule guy. Right. So I'm just going to go through this real quick. This is just a real quick Matty O schedule. So we start out neutral field in KC. Might as well be a home game for Nebraska. Then we got four straight.
Cincinnati's toast. Why don't you tick through it?
Okay. You want me to tick through it?
Yeah, we have
Yeah,
to, like, who
let's
we
do
play
it.
for each one. Yeah,
Let's
yeah.
do it.
We don't
Okay.
have to predict each game.
No,
We've
but I'm
done
just going
that.
to go through. So we
Yeah.
got start out in KC against Cincinnati. It's basically a home game. Then we got Akron
W.
at home,
W.
Houston Christian at home,
W. Oh yeah,
Michigan.
that high school team. I forgot about them. Houston Christian.
Believe it's my turn, Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Houston Christian at home.
Go on.
And then we go, then we have Michigan. Okay. So
Michigan.
big one early on. And then we have Michigan State at home. Okay. So right there, even if we're 4-1 after five, like we're still on pace to get the Matt Rhule patented year three leap, right? Then we got two winnable road games at Maryland, at Minnesota. Okay. A little concerned about Minnesota than Maryland, my opinion. But then we come back home, we got Northwestern. Okay. This all sounds pretty reasonable, right?
Bottom
And
of the
then
barrel
there's a
next one.
mini gauntlet in the back end. Okay. You go USC at home, go to UCLA, go to Penn State, Iowa at home. All right. But if we can be at seven or if we can be at six or seven wins going into the last four,
Yeah.
looks pretty
Yeah.
good to me, guys.
Yep. I like if the year leap is going to happen, and if
No, it is.
Nebraska.
This is what that's the point of the
That's
episode.
right.
It is
When the year
happening.
leap
Okay,
happened,
don't
when the
just
year leap
say
happened.
if.
I think it was Brandon Vogel. We've referenced him a lot lately. I think it was Vogel who made this point. Like something like the Michigan game is a game they haven't won very often in the last decade, and they need to start winning, right? So I feel like that's true of Michigan. That's true of probably at least one of USC and UCLA. Like you'd like to think they at least split with the California teams. At Penn State will be a tall order. But like there's just some of these games, even like I feel like the Michigan game is like they'll probably be top 25, and they go 7-5, but they ended the year really strong. So they'll probably come in ranked. Like that's a game we got to win because we have to start with beating better teams. But equally as important are like Minnesota and Maryland, teams that we traditionally think of ourselves as better than, and teams that have kind of been in that middle of the fat, big middle of the Big Ten that we've all been in. We have to start winning those games too. Like there's some prove it opportunities here. In different ways to show we are taking that leap and we are better. So, sorry, Nate, were you going to say something there?
Would you guys say, obviously, is at Penn State the toughest game on that schedule? Probably.
I think
I think
so.
so. I think so. 100%.
It's probably going to be their senior day and stuff. And that's just, I don't know
Was that
why. I
night?
think that's
Was that
an
night game?
intimidating place to play.
We won't know
I
yet,
don't think,
Jeff. We
yeah,
don't
they
even
don't know
know.
yet.
Because I think we were talking about the possibility of like a whiteout type of thing.
They wouldn't
Hey,
surprise
yeah.
me.
You
If
know what you
we're, if
do
we
though?
come in.
You come into that game undefeated, and then you beat Iowa. So even if you lose to at Penn State, you're 11-1 and go to the playoff.
There you go.
Solved it.
Yeah.
Easy.
Solved it.
Simple.
Yep. You're right. But
it's also remarkable how much the 2025 schedule is similar to the 2024 schedule, where the easier or more quote unquote easier or more manageable games are all on the front half of the schedule. And then it does, but I feel like you could even argue 24 was harder. I mean, we'll see. Like, hard to know what to think of Michigan State quite yet. Like they were kind of average, but Jonathan Smith's a good coach. Who knows? Whatever. Michigan too. Like, they were okay. They had a really good recruiting class. But like, it's hard to know what to make of some of these teams. But like, at Minnesota, at Maryland, Northwestern, at home, those are all games. If you think you're taking a leap as a program, you have to win those games, right?
I think did Michigan sign like a big time five-star quarterback?
They have
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think
Yeah.
he
True
was the
freshman
number
coming
one,
in, I
wasn't
think.
he the number one in
Underwood,
the
is his name Underwood or something like that?
And I think he's from Michigan, but I mean, I don't know Michigan's schedule, but this might be his first away game at Memorial Stadium. So I mean, true freshman. That's if he starts, but
They
we're gonna get
play
there.
OU, I think. Not the week before, but 2 weeks before. We did this on our
Jeez.
schedule
Where is that one, Mateo?
prediction.
Where's that one?
Michigan plays at OU. At
Wow.
OU
I
week
don't.
two. Yeah, we
Okay.
play
Well,
at
yeah.
OU week two, and then they come to Lincoln 2 weeks later.
Well, we're gonna make that kid cry. All right, Olson. Your number three reason, Mr. Olson.
I'm gonna go with Matt Rhule just his leadership capability slash okay, I'm gonna divide it into two. Learning from his past mistakes, and now he has so much more experience in the Big Ten. Like he knows what he's getting into, and like Ed Foley, like, seems like a great man, but like, let go of Ed Foley. He obviously identified that was not working. He identified the offense was not working. I mean, I just kind of piggybacking off what Owen said, belief. Like, I believe in Matt Rhule. And did you guys really know what to expect when he was hired? Like, I was like, Matt Rhule, like, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I, like, I grew up watching James Bond movies, and like, Roger Moore and Sean Connery were just it for me. And I didn't even watch the new Daniel Craig ones for a while. And then I started watching them, and I'm like, Daniel Craig is an amazing James Bond. Like, Skyfall is one of my favorite James Bond movies. And I can correlate that to Matt Rhule. Like, I was like, I don't know what to expect. I don't like him. Now, I can't imagine anybody else leading our program. Like, I fully believe in Matt Rhule. So his leadership capabilities, he's a great speaker. I think he's a great leader. So just my belief in Matt Rhule.
Season one of Matt Rhule was Casino Royale. Last year was what that was the second one.
Quantum
called.
Of Solace.
Yeah, and now we're moving on to Skyfall, right? That's the third one. That's
Skyfall.
A big leap.
Skyfall was a masterpiece.
Skyfall is like one of my favorite Bond movies.
Yeah, Skyfall is outstanding. Olsen, I'm with you, and I'll go one step further. I sort of was like, Rhule.
Yeah.
Like, who's Rhule? Yeah. I haven't really been paying attention to the Big 12 when he was at Baylor, you know, like Temple, who cares what Temple's doing, you know? And I remember Owens, I think I was talking to you on the phone. I was like, is it Rhule? 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 You know, like, Rhule? I was sort of like, not, and yeah. And I, people,
Rhule.
Like,
Matt Rhule.
People had said enough good things about him on like social media. And it sounded like, okay, physical defense, that all aligns with what Nebraska fans are. I wanted Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
He took Cincinnati to the playoff, had Big Ten experience. I thought Fickell was the home run hire.
And how glad are you now that you don't have Luke Fickell?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
I think because the Fickell Wisconsin news broke like a day after the Rhule to Nebraska news, I think he was waiting on that. I think he would have come to Nebraska. I do.
Yeah.
Fickell, that is.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, Olsen, but Rhule has his finger. I wrote about this in my latest article about the spring game. Rhule has his finger on the pulse of Husker Nation more than any coach of the post Osborne era.
Yeah,
I would agree.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a million times on this show. With your point you just made, the willingness to make changes. How many stubborn, even beloved guys, but stubborn head coaches have we watched double down and say it, not make changes. Try to do the same thing. The scheme works. We just got to execute it, whatever. Yeah. Right. And Rhule to your, like, offense wasn't working, brought in one of the best offensive coordinators available. Special teams is terrible, brought in one of the best special teams coordinators in the country. Like, he's not messing around.
Yeah.
And it made me think of his line of being a football coach is like the mafia. You're going to get whacked eventually, and you just have to live as much as you can until then, or something like that.
Great line.
And it's like,
it is a great line,
but it's also just like, I'm going for this. Like, hopefully we all hope he's at Nebraska for 20 more years and wins a lot. But I think in his mind, it's like, there's no time to waste. And no one gets a lot of time in modern day college football. You got to win now. And he's going for it. So I love that.
Yeah. I'll go on record. I remember I said I wanted, when Rhule was announced, I didn't really know much about him either, but do you guys remember how high I was on like getting Urban Meyer for a while there?
I remember that. Yeah. That was never real though, Jeff.
I love the idea of it. I love the idea of it. And Hollywood, Deion Sanders, I remember saying that too. I was like, we need Deion here. Get him here immediately.
You have terrible instincts, Jeff.
I do. Okay. They're just awful. which leads me to you're going to love my number three pick then. Speaking of instincts. So there's been a lot of news recently about just stadium renovations and changes, right? So I think a big thing that's going to help us take the big leap for 2025 is just our home games and energy within the stadium, right? So the energy, I think we need to take that up a notch. And you can have the argument all day of if you need to modify the tunnel walk, or if you need to change some of the things that we do in game to enhance the in-game experience. There are two things that we are doing right now. We're going to start serving alcohol. So you're going to get fans that are going to be probably a little bit more loud and boisterous.
Liquid courage is what you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, exactly right. Might be a little bit louder in the stadium in 2025 just from that alone. I mean, granted, you're going to have to spend $60 for three beers. But that being said, people might be a little bit more loud, energetic, and boisterous.
Lubricated.
And yes, absolutely. And then in addition to that, you know what kind of gets people down and not so boisterous and excited? You know what makes people just kind of lazy and just not feeling the greatest? It's like after Thanksgiving dinner when you ingest a bunch of turkey.
Oh, yeah.
You
want to take a nap, tryptophan. Right?
Yeah, exactly. But instead of turkey, you've got a belly full of those hot pocket.
Don't you dare.
Cabbage,
don't you
beef.
Dare.
Cabbage, beef, runzas, right?
Oh,
and maybe
my
they won't
gosh.
Maybe they won't serve them next year. And maybe people will, you know, try eating something different. And maybe they won't feel all sluggish and tired with a belly full of hot pocket.
Something happened to Jeff's mic.
I'm really going here. You're not taking me off this point. You're not taking me off this point. I won't let you. And yeah, so there, that in-game experience, it's going to be different this year. And I feel like it's going to get a lot of people excited and more energetic.
Does it feel good to be that contrarian, Jeff? Does it feel good to slander
it's
Nebraska staple?
Yeah.
I'm not slandering it. It just makes you tired. That's all I'm saying. It makes you a little tired.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
A full stomach. You're just, I'm full. I'm tired.
So your reason is home field advantage, basically.
I'm saying that the in-game experience.
He's saying it sounds to me like the reasoning is the booze is going to make the stadium louder.
Yeah.
And as you said,
the lack
ergo,
of runs
ergo, we will make the leap.
All right. I'm still not clear on what any of Jeff's points actually
you
were.
Don't understand.
We'll take
you don't understand.
We'll
don't act like you don't know.
But you just
don't
said
like you don't know.
Was the dumbest
You've never understood me. All right. My third one is defensive coordinator John Butler.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Johnny B.
A lot of our focus has been none of the reasons so far have been on defense. And I think it would be fair for Husker fans to be taking defense for granted, right? Matt Rhule and Tony White showed up and immediately flipped the script on defense. We've had two consecutive top 25 defenses. As we discussed on our last episode, though, guys, we lose a ton of veteran contributors on defense. We will need John Butler to mold that unit into another top 25 unit or close to it. Let's assume the special teams is better. Let's assume the offense takes a big leap, which as Husker fans, we can never assume anything good. But let's just assume those things. I think for it all to come together and kind of have a real special season, 9, 10, 11 wins, you need the defense not to drop off very much.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if John Butler is that guy, but he's going to have to be in our scenario of Nebraska taking a big leap, I think. So he has not been a college defensive coordinator for over a decade. The last time he did it was at Penn State, but it sounds like there's a lot of belief in that program in him among the players and among the coaching staff. So we're going to have to see how it all comes together. But I think John Butler being really good and getting that defense to a place where it's really good is going to be a part of any equation where we take a big leap in 2025.
He sure looks the part to me. Like we watched some of those, what did they call that thing? Like chasing three.
Yeah.
I mean, just a little like you see him talking to players or you like get him, you know, with a position group and I'm like, okay, this guy's a football coach. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah.
And they did really good in the bowl game, I thought. I mean, Boston College was in a vaunted offense, but I liked what I saw in the bowl game from him.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been Sharp and Severe when we talked to them, made the point of like they could see maybe the overall numbers regressing a little bit, but they feel like the level of dynamic athletes has improved. And so you're going to see more things like sacks and takeaways and impact plays that will have a massive impact on, you know, the defense and the sort of season and all that. So anyway, that I think would be, I mean, that's a couple of things that while Tony White's defense were really good, they had a hard time getting off the field on third down and sort of the turnover thing just continues to be not an advantage for Nebraska, even though it was better this last year. So, man, if they get off the field on third down and they can start taking the ball away more, that could make up for any maybe losses in production in other areas.
Yep.
And getting to the quarterback, of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, are we all through? Are we through all of our lists so far? I feel like when we've done this in the past, these list episodes have taken a long time. So, anybody have anything else you want to add? Any other reasons for optimism this year? I can't believe we haven't talked much about Dylan.
I brought him up.
Jeff did bring him up. I was gonna name him. I thought that'd be too obvious. So I.
Oh, yeah, okay. That was my thought.
My answer's too obvious. Okay, so we don't want to state facts. We want to get clever and crafty with it. Just say what you feel. You think Dylan's gonna be a good quarterback? We need to be a good quarterback.
You're a piece of work, Jeff. Yeah. You know that?
The one thing I'd add about Dylan is I don't think we'll ever find out, but obviously something happened mid-year where I don't know if he got in his own head but he regressed.
Yeah.
He could have got hurt, but he regressed, and it just seemed like everything that was coming so easy for him was now just incredibly hard. I don't know if he was overthinking stuff or if the offensive coordinator got in his head, but it was like he was seeing ghosts a lot of times. So
I think I thought we thought that too and talked about it. I honestly think that it was something to do with the schemes and the play calling and
something wasn't right.
He looked like a different guy once Dana took over.
Yeah.
You know, it looked more. He looked more like the guy, the Dylan from earlier in the season.
Exactly.
Yep.
So. Let's just go ahead and blame it on Marcus Satterfield. Let's call it
Satterfield's fault. Well, I think you also just have like it's a lot for any true freshman. Like, think about it, Olsen. Like, the first three games, even Illinois, though, he did look pretty good against Illinois, but it started to get progressively worse as we got into conference play, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, the Big Ten, even the average Big Ten teams are some of the best coach teams in the country, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I think that was a big part of it, and everything you hear about the guy, everything that people say about the guy is that he has this like, what do you call it?
Like photographic memory.
Photographic. You know? That's what it is. Photographic memory. And like every experience he had and every coverage he saw and every alignment that he saw is like filed away now. And so I think you hope that that experience of going through a year of major college football, a year against Big Ten defenses, you hope that benefits him a lot. And then I also think, like, as we've been saying, Holgorsen's ability just to keep it simple, focus on the things they do really well, put them in positions to succeed. I think that will help things a lot. And we talked about who was one of our first guests was Matt Verzal. Former Husker Matt Verzal, and it was after the Michigan State game last year in 2024. And we talked about how it seemed like, or 2023, excuse me, 2023. And it seemed like Nebraska was running the ball well, and then we would go away from it. And that was when he talked about offensive coordinators wanting to show how big brain they are.
Yep.
And how like, and I do think there was an element of that with Satterfield. I think he's got this massive playbook and like kind of maybe got a little bit hard for the guys to manage a little bit. Like the offense took a drastic drop for multiple games in the middle of the season. And so I don't think it was only Dylan, but it could have been partly the true freshman aspect in the Big Ten season. So anyway, anything else, boys? Anything else to add?
Just can't wait for the crowd to be pumped up and not tired. That's all.
Damn it, Jeff. Damn it, Jeff.
That's all.
I don't think we have spring ball dates yet, do we? I don't think we do. Last year, I want to say spring ball started at the end of March and went through most of April, if I recall correctly. So I assume
Can I ask you a question? I'm just thinking of this here. When we talk about runzas, do you go cheese or no cheese? I'm just
no
curious.
Cheese. I like plain
cheese. I go cheese.
Yeah.
We're back TJ? To runza, huh? Normally, when I go to Runza, I get a double cheeseburger and French fries.
That's actually what I get.
Yeah.
Their burgers are underrated.
But if I'm eating a Runza, and they're always good at the stadium, especially Jeff.
They are.
If I'm eating Runza, it's no cheese. No cheese.
Really? Okay. I go cheese too.
You know, you can customize on the Runza app, you can customize it too. So
do you think Jeff has the Runza app?
I've ordered and I've added.
What the hell is that?
You add onions and I add onions and pickles in there too.
Oh,
cheese, nice. Onions, pickles.
Oh, that sounds.
And then
worse.
I'd like to know, Jeff. I also think their crinkle fries are some of the best fries out there.
Yeah,
they are.
They are.
You like Runza fries or onion rings better?
I am a fries guy, and I don't go frings either. I just go all fries, cider ranch for dipping.
It's the Their way. Fries are so good.
Same here. Same here.
I go onion rings.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't dislike them. I just, I don't know. Their fries are so good.
Fries
good.
Are unbelievable too, though.
But. And I agree. The double cheeseburger is delicious. See, Runza, if you're listening right now, I'm sure you are. I like you, Runza. I like some of the stuff that you offer. It's not all negative doom and gloom. I like Runza. All right. I'm just not
the
sandwich Runza fan per se.
There is something about the Runzas at the stadium, though, because I always get a Runza and I'll get a slice of Al's pizza.
Oh, that is a true Nebraskan.
The individual hamburger slice is just some of the best pizza in the world.
Yeah,
I something about being inside the box. I don't know if it cooks it differently. I don't know.
It does.
Magic happens when you close it. I don't get it.
I will say, you know, Geoff likes to talk trash about Valentino's. I will say, like, I think those of us who grew up eating Valentino's probably like it more than others. Like, what my wife is always like, she did not grow up in Nebraska, and she's always like, I don't understand the appeal of this pizza that you guys all love. I don't get it.
Sure.
But so I like it no matter what form it comes in. But there is something about that slice in the cardboard box at the stadium that is like the best form of Valentino's pizza and some of the best pizza you can have anywhere.
Sitting in the food temperature danger zone for a while. I don't know if that's a part of it. I don't know if that changes.
You go
the
with
flavor.
The food safety stuff again. Good Lord.
You guys,
it makes it taste good. It tastes good.
One last question that you guys brought up winter conditioning is going on right now. Have they posted? I always, what pumps me up is the winter conditioning like video on Twitter where the guys have like the weightlifting belts on and like the cutoff
shirts. Like screaming at each other.
And they're like screaming. Yeah. Like somebody's maxing on the squat or the bench. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's like 10 guys around them just screaming and they're all just dripping with sweat.
Oh, yeah.
Like we need
like
one
there
of those
have been
good...
some of those. I think
there's
been
yeah, I think there was one. There was one about a week ago or so.
Okay. I
at least. Pictures, if not videos, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, we're getting there, fellas.
Well,
we'll
get through it, guys. We'll get through it. We got to do it together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to try to fly this thing solo, right?
No.
We got about 6 months to go, and we got to stick together.
Yeah.
Get each other through this.
My joke is always that I'll have myself talked into like 11-1 by August, but we are doing an episode
we're ahead of schedule
about why we're going to take the year three leap and
way ahead of schedule
11 wins. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what the common fans are here for.
That's
we're
right.
Not journalists. We don't have to be objective.
No,
it would be great.
Not journalists.
It would be great if Husker baseball could make like a CWS run because then that really cuts down your time on.
Yeah.
Well, non-Husker athletics.
Imagine a Nebraska ball March Madness win.
Ooh.
And the Husker baseball CWS run. The football team would have no choice but to probably go undefeated.
They got an answer.
You got to hold up your end.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible. All right, Common fans. Thanks for joining us for this one. Thanks to Nick Olson, who has been with us for the last couple episodes. Fellow Common fan, great, dear friend of the program. And as you could tell, very knowledgeable Husker fan. He knows way more about the Huskers than Jeff does.
Absolutely, he does.
Someday we'll get him on here talk about 100%. all the obscure Huskers he knows from which Nebraska towns, like the walk-on guys.
Yes. We have to do that sometimes.
Like a whole episode on that. Whole
matchup numbers, like who's your favorite number 9 or probably Tony Veland, but...
And guys, this is the last episode of February, so we're powering through. March means spring ball. March means March Madness. March means lots of good things. So it means sunshine. It means spring. So... we're getting there. We're powering through. The Common fans are here to get you through the off season. Don't forget to go to the Common Fan website. Don't forget to sign on, to subscribe on YouTube, all the things. And we will be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.